We're going to be going to Matthew chapter 22, reading some key texts, and then Galatians chapter 5. So you can pull those out and get those prepared. Matthew chapter 22, Galatians chapter 5. The question I want to ask here is, what wonders may God work through us when the people of Jesus join together to love their neighbors? What if the solution to society's biggest issues have been right in front of our noses for the past 2,000 years? When Jesus was asked to reduce everything in the Bible into one command, he said, love God with everything you have, and love the neighbor, your neighbors as yourself. What if he meant that we should love our actual neighbors? I encourage you, if you're not on Facebook, to go to our website, bottom of the page, there's a link to Facebook, or if you do have an account, go to our church throughout this beginning of the week and through the next 10 or 12 days. There'll be a lot of videos and promotional material about the art of neighboring here. Further study, further encouragement, testimonies for those that have gone through this neighboring effort. So I encourage you to take part in that. Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 to 40. If you'll stand with me for the reading of God's word this morning. Matthew chapter 2, verses 34 to 40. Says, but when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him, saying, teacher, what is the greatest, great commandment in the law? And he, Jesus, said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbors as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Go to Galatians chapter 5. We'll read verses 13, 14, and 15. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. You may have a seat. I had in my notes this morning to remind us to do the Sunday shuffle where we all pick up our chairs and come over here, but all these folks did a wonderful job of filling out this area so we could spread out and have a full morning. So glad that you're here this morning. Glad to have you online as well. The people that live right next door. The fact is, Jesus has given us a practical command that we are to love our neighbors, and there is potential here to change the world. The reality is, though, that majority of Christians don't even know the names of their most literal neighbors. Often they may say, everyone is my neighbor. And that can become an excuse to avoid the implications of following the great commandment. Because when we say everyone is my neighbor, our quote-unquote neighbors become defined in the most broadest of terms. They're the people across town. They're the people who are helped by organizations that receive our donations. The people in whom the government will help. We don't feel like we have to feel guilty because we tell ourselves, after all, we can't expect to love everybody, can we? If we don't take Jesus' commandment literally, then what we end up doing is turning this great law into nothing more than a metaphor. We have a metaphoric love for our metaphoric neighbors, and our communities are changed, but only metaphorically. In other words, nothing really changes. The great commandment is a matter of obedience to those who follow Jesus. We don't love our neighbors so they will know Jesus. We love our neighbors because we are told to, and we trust Jesus that what he tells us to do is for good. We are called to love our neighbors, and even if our neighbors never show any interest in Jesus, because we have made Jesus our highest priority, we give him glory. So what are some of the obstacles, and what are some of the things that we need to change? If we truly want to be great neighbors, we are going to have to make some adjustments. And by that, it means that we may have to say no to some really good things that we do in order that we can focus on things that are truly important. Author John Ortberg has coined the phrase hurry sickness. And it says, number one in the outline, if you're following with that online or printed out, that love and hurry are fundamentally incompatible. Love always takes time. And time is the one thing that hurried people do not have. Perhaps much of your time is focused on relationships and building those, primarily with those that are in the most convenient place to you. So perhaps you are soccer parents, or you do have coworkers that you're interacting with, or you have a small group of long-term friends. And there's nothing wrong with this. Quite frankly, if you're working at all at building relationships with these people and building connections, you are headed in the right direction. However, on the whole, we are often convinced and conditioned that we need to make this big giant splash, this big change to do something great for Christ. Just being a good neighbor to those that live next door or down the country road isn't enough. Jesus says that being a good neighbor is exactly the kind of life change that he wants to see in the world. And this simple truth can change everything for us, because small things matter to him. Small conversations and relationships matter to him. They really do. It doesn't take a superhero to be a great neighbor. It just takes someone to know your name. There's an illustration here for a TV show. No condemnation here. I'm not asking if you've ever watched it. I'm just asking if you've ever heard of it. You've heard of the show Cheers. Cheers, right? Yeah, most of the hands are going up. Everyone wants to belong. The theme song kind of goes on. Everybody wants to be recognized, for someone to know their name, to be understood. From 1982 to 1993, this was a popular sitcom called Cheers, and the words to the theme song were not only catchy, but they were insightful. It said, "Wouldn't you like to get away? Sometimes you want to go where everyone knows your name. They're always glad you came. You want to be where you can see our troubles are all the same. You want to be where everybody knows your name." When the world is constantly pulling at you and your life and your family, and it's pulling you in different directions, it's a challenge to try to even get to know the neighbors that live right outside. It's a challenge to simply get to know their names. So what does it look like for adults, for you teens and children here this morning, to be gospel-focused neighbors while caring for people in such a shifting society? What does it look like for us to be gospel-focused neighbors when we can't even walk over the street and shake their hand? How can Christ and the church encourage us and prepare us to lead our lives in a Christ-centered neighboring way? I want to be clear or something as we get into this art of neighboring, that this is not an evangelism strategy. It is also not a church growth strategy. And if evangelism or church growth is your only motivation in this, then you won't end up being a very good neighbor. If evangelism is important to you, please come back next week, because we're going to talk about neighboring and evangelism. But that's not the focus. However, if neighboring is done with the right posture, then those people who don't know God are most certainly going to come into contact with him through you. And that is why, for the next several years, neighboring is going to be a vehicle for our local outreach. Much like Pastor Scott said several weeks ago, the education of your children is your responsibility, and the church is here to equip you. The same goes with our local outreach. You must take the priority to learn, retain, and use the names of your neighbors to begin building a relationship with them. And as a church, we will work ever diligently, providing ways for you to reach out with love, with kindness, and with the gospel. Number two in our outline, we don't love our neighbors to convert them. We love our neighbors because we are converted. It sounds great. So what is the strategic value of Jesus' plan of neighboring? When interviewed by a group of pastors, Bob Fry, he was the mayor of Arvada, Colorado years ago, when interviewed, he said the majority of issues that our community is facing would be eliminated or drastically reduced if we could just figure out a way to become a community of great neighbors. You see, government programs aren't always the most effective way to address social issues. The mayor went on to say that relationships are more effective than programs because they're organic and they're ongoing. The idea is that when neighbors are in relationship with one another, the elderly shut-in gets cared for, the at-risk kid gets mentored by the dad who lives on the block, and so on and so forth. The solutions to the problems in our neighborhoods aren't ultimately found in the government, in the police, or even in the schools, or even in getting more people to go to church. The solution lies with us. It is within our power to become good neighbors, within our power to care for people, and within our power to allow others to care for us. There is really a different way to live, and I believe, as your outreach and discipleship pastor, it is the best way to live. It is common for churches to host big events and to ask people to invite their friends out for those events. And that's not a bad thing. In fact, it's a very effective way for people to share the faith and to invite friends and neighbors who don't know God. But at the same time, those many people that might come to one of those church events may never darken the door for Sunday worship. So it's important for us to think, how can we go to the places where people already are? And in this case, it's right outside our front door. It is difficult, and it will be difficult, for us to quantify the results of good neighboring. What we do know is that when we get to know our neighbors, good things start happening. So from the people who were on the elder and deacon board last year, for those who took the neighboring elective, for you as we go into this neighboring effort, I'm going to look for feedback from you and hope to share some of the testimony of the relationships that you're building in your neighborhood so that we can be encouraged by it. Real relationships will be formed, and those relationships will make a difference because neighbors will start to work together. They'll shovel driveways. They'll get to know aging neighbors. They'll notice strangers that are walking around, and they'll even help each other in a pinch. These small acts add up to something significant. So here are some practical steps to neighboring. Start by looking around your own neighborhood. What are some of the problems that you see? The yard across the street is full of knee-high weeds. You know the husband got laid off from work. Should you call the code enforcement office? Maybe the government is the one who needs to step in to help here. Next door, there's teenagers, and there's the smell of drugs that seep out of the windows on a nightly basis. You wonder, should I call the police? They'll take care of the problem, won't they? There's a family a couple of doors down, and they have several children, and it's clear that none of them speak English very well. And you wonder, are the kids even going to school? Should you contact someone from the school district? Surely they're equipped to handle that sort of a problem, aren't they? These problems aren't hypothetical. They likely exist right outside your front door or down your country road. We can always hope that someone else will step in and handle them. But what if we could be part of the solution? And what if that solution is more attainable than we think? What if it all starts by getting to know those invisible neighbors that live right around us? The first step to taking the Great Commandment literally is to move from stranger to acquaintance in your relationship with those who live the nearest to you. Learning a person's name is the first and easiest step, and arguably one of the most hardest steps that you can take to become a great neighbor. I want to read to you Luke chapter 10, verses 25 to 28. It says, "And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' He said to him, 'What is written in the law? How do you answer it?' And he answered, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' And he said to him, 'You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live.'" I talked about in the beginning how I've been spending time with my family in the neighborhood and how life-giving it's been building those relationships. See, God is already working in your neighborhood. Being a good neighbor simply means slowing down and being aware of what he is doing. What is he designing in your neighborhood? Remember in my prayer, I mentioned the verses on how he determined the allotted time and location. What is he designing in your neighborhood? Good neighboring is about helping to create a sense of community within those that live around you. It's about empowering people to break down walls. It's about everybody doing something together for the gospel. I want to introduce you today to a block map, which is a refrigerator magnet with blank spaces on it, so you can begin to write down the information that you glean about your neighbors. And it all starts with knowing their name. So if you have one of these little magnets, will you hold it up for me this morning? Do you have one of these little magnets? Hold it up, let me see. Everybody have one? Just about. This is an opportunity for you, if you didn't grab one at the end, to come to one of these tables and pick one up on your way out. The people that you don't know by name that live around you are strangers. You might occasionally see them, and hopefully they've seen you, but the level of your interaction with them is very minimal. Perhaps it's only been a wave from the car as you went into work in the morning or came home. You may even know something about them, but the bottom line is if you don't know their name, you probably really don't have a real relationship with them. I'm going to encourage you to write down the names of your neighbors on a single map that you can keep on the side of your fridge or on your school desk at home, wherever you want. It may not seem like a big deal, but I want to encourage you that it is. Once we put the map where we can see it every day, we will find ourselves thinking more and more about the neighbors that we know by name and about the ones that we need to introduce ourselves when God provides the opportunity and you, through obedience, meet them. This block map, as we're going to refer to it now, is a tool that we believe in because we believe it will help us remember names. It's also a tangible way for us to know if we are, at the very least, acquaintances with those who live around us. So take a look at the graphic that you have in your hand and this one up on the screen, and imagine that the little box in the middle of the chart is your house, and the other boxes around are the eight houses that situate nearest to you, the eight houses that God has placed where you live. So if this house in the very center is your house, and you walked out your front door, there are eight homes that are the closest to you. Now, if you live at the end of a cul-de-sac, it's going to be the eight houses down the street, four on this side, four on that side. If you live where Pastor Walt is, it's going to be the eight houses, one here, one across the street, one down this road, one down that road, one down that road. If you live in a neighborhood, there may be close houses that are actually really close behind you, but to walk to them, you'd have to go out all the way around the block. They're not really your closest neighbors. So the idea is that you would take your house here in the middle, and you would identify the eight closest houses that are near you, most likely those that you can see from your front porch. Just give them a number, 1 through 8, and then start writing down the names of those people. Use a dry erase marker, put it on your fridge, and put Bob and Linda. Put Charles, whatever the names are. I doubt your neighborhood is arranged in this tic-tac-toe fashion. So you're going to have to use your imagination when you step outside to identify the eight closest neighbors. If you're a college student and you're in a dorm room, this still applies. If you're in an apartment building, above you, below you, and next to you, this still applies. Take it home, use that dry erase marker, try to identify the names. If you don't want to put it on your fridge because you're not sure of how people would see it if your neighbors came by, well, you have a private place that you can keep it. But putting it on the fridge really puts it out in front of you every day. It helps remind you. That's part of the point of this. If we took the time to get to know people that live right next to us, we may discover that we're not so much different than them and that they're not so menacing. Of all the door-to-door knocking ministry and park ministries, I've never been shot at, stabbed, or bled. People are longing for relationship. They might tell me they don't want to talk to me and tell me to go away, but when you walk outside and you just try to engage with people, they're longing for that. So what are some of the benefits of this neighboring? First, God is honored through our obedience. He's given us this command. May we honor him through it. It creates a strong support system between us and our neighbors. One of the part of this is being willing to receive from our neighbors. Receiving help when we need it the most. It improves our neighborhood security. And by that, I mean neighborhood watch, but also it helps people overcome their fears, overcome that isolation that now is so prevalent. It causes us to slow down and intentionally value people more than things. And it furthers God's kingdom, making disciples discipleship a possibility in our neighborhoods. As your discipleship pastor, I can't help you disciple your neighbors if you don't even know their names. So the answer to the question, who is my neighbor, is literally those living right next to you. And our ministry to our neighbors is more than just a sticker on our car. And we should never consider somebody as a ministry project. So I want to help encourage you to keep a long-term perspective in mind. Relationships are progressive and they take time. If you know one of your neighbors is not a Christian, commit them to prayer 6 months, 12 months, 18 months, and continue to engage and pray for them. I want to encourage us in this digital age to consider choosing people over screens. Loving our neighbor is not a science, it's an art. It's different for each of us, and it's different for each of our neighbors, but we're never going to do that if we don't get to them face to face or through Zoom. When you begin to develop healthy relationships, it's only natural that they will be reciprocal. You'll need to wisely give of yourselves and your resources in order to serve others. You'll have to give away what you have, and Jesus says he'll give you more to give. When you hear the term block party, think about a party that's thrown and attended by people in your area, specific block, groups of blocks. This could also be applied to a rural setting. Block parties are natural environments in which neighbors will often take steps from being acquaintances to actually becoming friends. Parties create that natural atmosphere to talk with others and get to meet them. But we don't have to start that big, and I don't want you to think that big. If you were here several years ago, you would have seen how Pastor Larry and now Livingstone Communities use block parties to invite neighbors into their homes and into their lives. We can do the same thing, but rather than leaving our own neighborhoods and going into another part of town, let's take the commandment to do that now, right next door. To be honest, doing it next door in a lot of ways can be a whole lot harder because you have to be willing to open up and to live your lives openly in front of people, the things that you guard typically as so private. But that is why, as a church, we are here to encourage you. So don't worry about the block party right now. I will shepherd you in that next year. The outreach team will shepherd you in that next year. Your goal right now is to start obeying the great commandment to love your neighbor first by learning the names of your 8 closest neighbors. Our church-wide goal for every person is that every single person in our church would get to know the names of their 8 closest neighbors by January 1st, 2021. That's 4 months of an evening walk trying to catch your neighbors outside to smile, wave, and say hi. That's 138 days for us to burn off the COVID-19 that we've gained. By going for a walk every morning or sitting out in our front yard with our coffee trying to meet our neighbors. Here's some examples of what you can do to connect. Sitting outside in lawn chairs 6-10 feet apart, simply chatting for conversation. Watching sports together in your garage or on an outside projector. Inviting somebody out for a meal now that there's so many options for that. Playing games in the yard. And for the kids, perhaps using a projector to have an outdoor movie night with those in the neighborhood. I want to encourage you to spend at least an hour in your front yard this week and see what happens. Take a walk outside your neighborhood, see who God might put in your path. What does a friendly and ever-deepening conversation look like? Well, I've noticed that it takes pattern and it takes time. Conversations follow first the things that we can see, the most basic information. Then, as conversations get deeper, our dreams and our desires. And after some time, our regrets, our losses, our pain, and our future. So we may start with questions like, well, how long have you lived here? Where did you grow up? Are you married? Where'd you meet? Do you have kids? Natural questions. What do you love the most about what you do? How's work going for you right now? How's school starting up with the kids? Then there's the dreams and desires. And then the pains, they're intertwined with this relationship with God. When we show that our story overlaps with our neighbors, and that both our stories overlap with God's greater story, then our neighbors might wonder and start to think, how could my story overlap with what God has planned? We must learn to listen to our neighbors, listen to their stories. Listen, 2 ears, one mouth, right? We've been given this. When we get to know our neighbors well, God will work in wondrous ways. We don't need to press them. We just need to be available, and we need to enter into natural, meaningful conversations with them. God will open the door for opportunities. I want you to think of somebody on your block right now or down your country road in your apartment building. Think of someone who is very hospitable. If there is a name that just popped into your head right away, odds are that that is a person of peace in your neighborhood who could help you in your neighboring effort. If you can't currently identify someone like that in your neighborhood, I'd ask you to ask for God and to pray for to identify someone who is hospitable. Because working with someone else in your neighborhood, a partner, let's say, is one of the best and smartest ways to move forward. And you can start small. You can just invite one person into this process with you. Let them know, hey, we're trying to get to know our neighbors. Would you help me in this effort? You can get started in your own neighborhood by connecting with others on your block and beginning to neighbor well. You can even take as many block maps as you want from the table today and share it with your neighbors. Take as many as you'd like. Initially, this may seem like a very difficult task, but I encourage you to continue trying. Finally, in our notes, the last section, remember that we are the connected body of Christ. Jesus prayed that everyone who would follow him would be brought to complete unity. Jesus has a burning desire for there to be unity with those that are believers. In fact, he tells us that there is something so sacred and so beautiful about this oneness that it will draw people to God who aren't in relationship with him. And the answer is lasting gospel transformation. It can begin in our neighborhoods. I'm urging us as a church to come together with one focus and to neighbor together, taking the great commandment literally. When a church body is full of like-minded people and they gather around God's kingdom building, great things for his honor will happen. As I begin to do the math, I realize that the scope of what we might do could be much bigger than I ever envisioned. So of the 200, 300, 400 households that make up our church in this greater community, that means if we made a commitment to build relationships with these 8 closest houses that are nearest to us, more than 5,000 to 10,000 individuals could be impacted for the gospel. And it's dawned on me that by simply encouraging people to commit to this block map to learn, retain, and use their neighbors' names as a start, it could affect thousands and thousands of people in our own backyards. As we begin to reach out to our neighbors, we will quickly discover that there are benefits that are very far-reaching. You will end up, I will challenge you on this, that you will be more cared for by your neighbors as much, if not more, than you've ever cared for them. I know it's true for us. You will begin to experience what it's like to have a strong support system right outside your front door. This plan is simple, but it is a great plan. Whenever we center our lives around the Great Commandment and take very literally the idea of loving our neighbors, there's freedom, peace, and depth of relationship that will come into our lives. Becoming good neighbors is who we are supposed to be as maturing believers in Christ. And as a result, our communities will become places that God has intended them to be. Often we seek to love our neighbors, and when we do that, God changes us more than he changes them. Loving our neighbors has the potential to transform us into the people that God wants us to be. And part of that genius is the Great Commandment. Living it out, it's not always easy, but I will tell you that it's always worth it. To wrap up, I want to ask the question, what is God's design for your neighborhood? What good things might truly happen if you got to know the people that are right around you? Do you live at a pace that allows you to be available to those around your home? What would it be like if we were to make this commitment to learn the names of those 8 closest neighbors? Who is the household or person near you in whom you are already connected with that can be a potential partner in this adventure? Who are those persons of peace? The last exciting thing that I want to share with you is a chance for further study. And to be honest, it's a call from your church leaders for further study. Raise your hand again if you took the winter elective with me this last year. If you took the winter elective with me, raise your hand. The feedback that I received from these folks as we debriefed was amazing. And I'm sorry that you were the guinea pigs preparing for this for the church, but I recently read a blog about not wasting your guinea pigs. So we're gonna use the feedback that you've given. We want the whole church to learn what they have learned. Right Now Media has released a new free small group format Bible study on the art of neighboring with the same authors that wrote the book, but now with an up-to-date new content and actually new cinematic videos than we would have done in that elective. Right Now Media is free for our church. The link is on our website. And this new four-week series called The Art of Neighboring comes with new free videos, a COVID-19 neighboring toolkit, a free study guide, session goals, discussion openers, review notes, questions for discussion in small groups, Bible exploration notes, and next steps for each week. Directly from Pastor Scott and our church leaders, and from me, your pastor, who's been given the task of overseeing small groups and outreach, I am asking that all small groups, take a pause for just four sessions, for 4 weeks, that may only be a month or two, starting in September, to go through the Art of Neighboring Bible study. We don't often or maybe ever direct small groups towards a specific study, but our ask is that you would take just a short pause from whatever study you're doing right now, or pick up this study as your first study in the fall, and go through it on Right Now Media together with your small group. We will be creating numerous in-person or online small groups. So if you're not in a small group, I encourage you to sign up online. Maybe you've said in the past, I don't know if I have time to commit to a small group. Well, you're in luck, because for a limited time only, I am creating something called a super short small group. Super short small group. Starting in September, we plan to have several super short small groups, which meet twice a month as normal, but will only last about 3 to 6 months. This means that you can join a small group now, you can begin going through the Art of Neighboring study without the long-term commitment concern, because we want everyone at East White Oak to be a part of our Sunday worship, part of our Bible fellowships, and part of our small groups. So now is the best time to consider being a part of these three ministries. So consider being part of a super short small group. Go to our website or check out the e-bulletin. You can sign up today. We want everyone to be a part of this neighboring effort in our church. EWO.org, click on Serve and Outreach. Click on Serve and then Outreach. You'll find all the resources and links to Right Now Media. Fill out a connection card and I'll get you into a small group. Let me know if you have questions. I will send out further details to all the small group leaders later this week so they understand what's coming up next. Last, I want to ask you to join me this Wednesday night, August the 19th. 6:30 in the worship center, we're going to have our weekly prayer meeting, and we're going to have a Q&A about neighboring, and we're going to talk about 30 days of praying for your neighborhood. So I encourage you to join us here in the worship center Wednesday night at 6:30 or online on Facebook. Come see us. I'd love to have you. Next week, we'll take a look at the Art of Neighboring Part 2, and we will study Jesus's principles for evangelism. Three simple steps: coffee, dinner, gospel. Let us pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've encouraged us from your word to take this great commandment literally. And Lord, you've taught us that we are to neighbor well. Lord, let us take this commitment as a family. Let us put it on this map on our fridge, start to learn, retain, and use those names as a family to do this. Lord, we ask that you'd give us the strength, that you'd open up the hearts of our neighbors, that we'd get a chance to meet them. Lord, if we know them, if we've had long-term relationships, Lord, to take that next step, that's what we're setting this up this way for. Lord, you told us in Psalm 119:18 that I read earlier, open my eyes that I may behold the wondrous things out of your law. Lord, that is our prayer, and that is our worship this morning. We ask it in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand as we close with a hymn this morning. Open my eyes that I may behold the wondrous things out of your law. Open my eyes that I may see. Open my ears that I may hear. Open my mouth and let me bear tidings of mercy everywhere.